The Lord be with you.
And
with a reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Glory to you, Lord. When the crowd saw that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they themselves got into boats and came to Capernaum looking for Jesus. And when they found him across the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, where did you get here? When did you get here?" Jesus answered them and said, "Amen, amen, I say to you, you are looking for me not because you saw signs, but because you ate the loaves and were filled. Do not work for food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him the Father God has set his seal." So they said to him, "What can we do to accomplish the works of God?" Jesus answered and said to them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in the one he sent." So they said to him, "What sign can you do that we may believe and see?" "What can you do? Our ancestors ate manna in the desert. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." So Jesus said to them, "Amen, amen, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave the bread from heaven. My Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." So they said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never hunger, and whoever believes in me will never thirst." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. First of all, we'd like to welcome Luke and Susie Kenischneck. They're celebrating their 40th anniversary. Stand up, you guys. Let's give them a hand. Let's congratulate them. To welcome their friends and family as well, and thank them for coming today. I don't know if you have ever read the series by J.R. Tolkien. Of course, it's been made into some pretty fantastic movies in the last few years, The Lord of the Rings. It certainly would be something I would highly recommend. It takes a little while to get through them. It's pretty deep stuff. But one of the reasons I recommend that is J.R. Tolkien was a very devout Catholic. And the series, The Lord of the Rings, that whole trilogy, was written as a metaphor of the Christian life, because the main theme that runs throughout the books, and if you watch the movies, is the battle between good and evil. It's basically the essence, fundamental story that runs throughout it. And you have all these various characters and personalities and symbols that J.R. Tolkien intentionally added in to the story, again, as a metaphor for we as Catholics, as Christians, and the Christian life. And I want to just mention one little image from that series quickly, because I think it speaks to the gospel today. So two of the protagonists, two of the characters in the story, there are many, many good people, but two of them, one of them being probably the main protagonist in some respects, Frodo and Samwise Ganges. These two guys, these little people from the village, from the Shire, Frodo is given the task of carrying a ring. And this ring is a source of power and great evil. And his task is to go and destroy the ring by throwing it into the mountain where it was forged. And it's fraught with all kinds, this journey is fraught with all kinds of peril and danger. And what sustains them on the way? Tolkien calls it lambus bread, which translated means way bread, bread for the way. And in the story, this little bit of bread, this supernatural nourishment, so to speak, helps them throughout their journey, sustains them. And so Tolkien was drawing from his Catholic heritage in talking about that way bread, because when we go to bring communion to a person for the last time, as they're dying, if they're able to receive Holy Communion, we refer to that communion as viaticum or viaticum, coming from the Latin via tecum, which means on the way with you. Sometimes it's translated food for the journey. It's a beautiful expression. Now listen to Tolkien as he wrote to his son a letter. He says, out of the darkness of my life, so often frustrated, I put before you the one great thing to love on earth, the Blessed Sacrament. You know, he was deeply committed. He went to Mass almost every day, and he spent many hours before the Blessed Sacrament. We know that for sure. He's a very devout Catholic. And so that story is imbued with all kinds of metaphors of our Catholic Christian life. Somebody came up to me last Sunday after, of course, we started to reflect on the sixth chapter of St. John last Sunday. We will be doing for the next three more Sundays, five in all. Somebody came up to me and said, Father, I really liked your homily, and it really helped me. I just listened to this CD called Jesus and the Jewish Roots of the Eucharist, and it's at the back of the entrance of church. That's where they got it. Might be something you might want to take home and listen to. It helped them kind of make some connections with this passage from St. John. And one thing in this CD, his name is Brian Petrie, that records this CD, Jesus and the Jewish Roots of the Eucharist, he says this, many Jews who lived in Jesus' day expected that when the prophet Moses, and now again we have to think back to last Sunday in the readings, Moses says to the people, one day God is going to raise up a prophet like me again. And that's what he's talking about. So the people were waiting for the Messiah, the Savior. And they expected that he would be like Moses, the lawgiver, that manna would come down again from heaven. We'll talk about that in a moment. And that when the promised Messiah came, he would feed Israel again with manna. Literally, manna was going to start dropping from heaven again. That's what they believed. So think about that in terms of what Jesus is saying today. I am the bread of life. It's not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but rather my Father who gives you. Notice the change in the tense. Gave and gives you. So he's saying, basically, Jesus saying, I am that bread that has come down from heaven. Of course, literally, that's what Jesus tells us. And so Brian Petrie, to back this up, he quotes from a document that is contemporary with the prophets. It's not in the Bible, but we have many of these kind of documents that tell us a great deal of the culture and the world in which the biblical documents came to us, the inspired Word of God. So this is taken from a text, an apocryphal book called Second Baruch, Baruch being one of the prophets. Now again, it's not in the scriptures, but it's helpful in understanding the culture of the day. And so this passage says, and it will happen that when all has been accomplished, all has come to pass, the Messiah will begin to be revealed. And those who are hungry will enjoy themselves. And they will, moreover, see miracles every day. And it will happen that the treasury of manna will come down again from on high, and they will eat of it in those years, because they are the ones who will live at the time of the consummation, meaning the Messianic age. So that expectation, as I talked about last Sunday, the people believed that when the Messiah came, all the events of Exodus were going to happen over again. Moses was going to come back, or the prophet, like Moses, was going to return. Manna was going to fall from heaven. They would go into a journey in the desert, like Moses and the people did, but this would be to a new promised land, and so on and so on. So they had that kind of expectation. So again, that makes so much sense as we hear Jesus speak to us in the gospel today. I am, not I give you, I am the bread of life. So many parallels in the words of Jesus in the gospel today. Just before Holy Communion at Mass, we pray the Lord's Prayer, right? Pray the Our Father. You ever thought about that? That's why we pray it then. As we prepare to receive Holy Communion, we pray the perfect prayer that Jesus taught us. And one line in the prayer, the Lord's Prayer, is, give us this day our daily bread. Right? We say that all the time. But what does that mean? Does it mean that God should provide food for us every day on the table at home? Not exactly. Does it simply mean the Eucharist? Yes, but it's more than that. Now, we need to look at the language of the Gospel writers, of course, which was ancient Greek. And this is what St. Matthew says in the Gospel when he recounts the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples. So he says, "Give us ton arton ton epi ousion." Now, that means, give us this day super substantial bread. Epi means above, super. Ousion, nature or substance. So we say in the Creed that Jesus is homoousion. He is of one nature or one substance with the Father. So the bread that we're praying for at the Our Father, that Jesus taught his disciples to pray for, is a super substantial sustenance. When St. Jerome was translating the Bible from Greek and Hebrew into Latin, the first official translation in the history of the church, he translated into Latin because the people of that day spoke Latin. That was the language of the day for Christians. This is how he translated into Latin. They give us this day our daily bread. Panem super sans substillium. The same thing. Super substantilium. Super substantial bread. Now, what does this mean? This is very mysterious. What does this mean? Well, when we celebrate the Eucharist, we use a term again in Latin to describe what happens at the altar, because it is a mystery and we can't fully grasp it with our minds. But as it has been revealed to us, the bread and the wine are transubstantiated, which means the nature, the substance, is transformed. It is no longer bread and wine. It is now the body and blood of Christ. Again, another mystery. So what does this mean, this super substantial bread that Jesus says we are to pray for? Notice that the crowds who follow Jesus, they've just experienced the miracle of the multiplication of the loaves and the fish, and they followed him around the Sea of Galilee, and they're waiting for him again. They're hungry, but hungry in a deeper sense. They're looking for more. They're looking for Jesus. And they say to Jesus, "Give us this food always." And without realizing it, they're really saying in a symbolic way what this gospel is talking about. Symbolically, they're speaking of that deepest hunger and need that all of us, every human being, has for God. And then notice what Jesus says. "Do not work for the bread, the food that perishes." So the question, I think, for us today is this. What is the food we are looking for? What is it we're really searching for today? What are the things we have come to believe that feed us in that deepest sense? And you know, the way we can tell that is by examining our priorities, where we spend our money, where we spend our time, the things that are important to us. That is going to be a strong indicator of what really we are about and what really we think sustain us. Again, like J.R. Tolkien, he talked about that again, that in those dark times, in those struggles, it was the Blessed Sacrament that sustained him. But I think Jesus is even going further than that. Again, last Sunday in the Gospel, Jesus runs away. What does it say? It says that the crowds saw him. They thought he was the magic man. He was going to give them bread. He was going to do them miracles all the time, provide them for all they needed. And what does Jesus do? He runs away. He runs away. Why? Because he will not submit to those kind of plans. That's not why he has come. He has not come for that reason. He has come to feed us, yes, but in a super substantial way, to feed the very deepest needs of our body, mind, and soul. Why? So like I said last Sunday, we can go out and feed the world. Bring the Lord Jesus into the world. Pope Francis, in his encyclical, his first encyclical, The Joy of the Gospel, he says this. Now, he's talking specifically to priests and bishops, preachers, but I think it applies to all of us. We can see it in a different way. So he says, if the preacher, but I want you to take that word out and just say, if we do not take time to hear God's word with an open heart, if we do not allow it to touch our lives, to challenge us, to impel us, and if we do not devote time to pray with the word, then we will indeed be a false prophet, a fraud, a shallow imposter. And I think the Holy Father there is getting at something, again, that depth of what Jesus is talking about the Eucharist. If we don't take time to hear God's word with an open heart, the Holy Father says. You know, lots of people come to church, they listen to the readings, but they don't open their hearts. And they don't allow the word to come in and transform them. They're just going through the motions. So if we don't do that, if we don't allow the word of God to touch our lives, to challenge us, if we don't devote time to pray, then the Holy Father's right. Then what is the point? Where are we going to draw on that super substantial bread that Jesus wants to give us? Like the people in Exodus, the more they resisted God, the more they gave way to their rebellious wills, the longer they ended up wandering in the desert. And that's what happens in a metaphorical way in our lives. If we are not looking for that true bread that sustains us, Jesus, we're just going to be restless. Just like St. Augustine says, our hearts are restless, Lord, until they rest in you. When we bring the bread and the wine today to the altar, and the priest says the prayers of consecration, we believe that that bread and wine is no longer bread and wine, but is transformed, transubstantiated into the body and blood of Christ. But not only that, we believe that we are transformed. For the soul, again, like the Holy Father says, the soul that comes, the person that comes, the believer that comes with an open heart, ready to hear the word of God, ready to be challenged, ready to be stretched. If we come, then not only is that bread and wine going to be changed, we're going to be changed. And I think that's good news. That's good news. I think a lot of people spend their lives trying, you know, reading self-help books, all this kind of stuff. Not that self-help books can't be a good thing, sure. But people are doing so much. They want to change. They want to grow. They want to be a different person. And that's what Jesus is offering us. He's helping us through the Eucharist. He says, I am the living bread that has come down from heaven. Living bread. He wants to live in us. He wants that relationship with us. He wants to be that viaticum, that food for the journey. Whatever our journey and wherever we are right now in our journey, Jesus wants to feed us in the deepest of ways. God bless you.